Our reading of scripture you can find in the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament before the gospel according to the Matthew. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. The book of Malachi. Here is the infallible word of our God. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. Here is the word of God. So, book of Malachi, it's the last book in the Hebrew Bible. The prophet Malachi, the name, means God's messenger. He is the last prophet among all. He was living in the time after Ezra's arrival in Judah around the time 458 BC. And at the time, they're still under the ruling of Persian after exile. So during that time, the people of Israel already came back to their homeland for 100 years after exile. However, they are discouraged and they're hopeless because they do not see a glorious messianic age which was prophesied hundreds of years ago. On the contrary, they're still under the ruling of Persia. So their hearts are full of doubts, confusions, impatience, and unbelief. Where is God? Where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of faithfulness? They cannot see. They think God has forsaken them. God has changed their love. And the result of this thinking are their disobedience, their arrogance, and their lethargy. At this point, the gracious and covenantal God sent his messenger, Malachi, to give them the message, to rebuke them, but mostly comfort them and give them hope. As it is written in verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So in our text today, we will see the word of God delivered by Malachi to show God's unchangeable love toward his people. By his sovereignty, and it will bring them joyful praise. Our theme today is God's unchangeable love. We will see 4 points. First, love by declaration. Second, love be recklessly questioned. Third, love by patient demonstration. And fourth, love brings joyful praise. So, dear church family, what will you expect when you do something wrong? Maybe as a kid, you are expecting some disciplines from your parents. Maybe as a student, you are expecting some rebukes from your teachers. If you are an employee, you may expect some warnings from your boss. Likewise, as God sends the message to those disobedient and rebellious people, we assume that God will directly rebuke them. You rebellious people, and I will send judgment to you. No. Let's see what God says here. I have loved you. What a powerful and simple sentence that God says, I have loved you. In Hebrew, the word, this word renders the meaning that God loved Israel before and he still continuously loved them. He still loved them right now, even though they're complaining, they're murmuring, they're sinning against the Lord who brought them out of the land of Egypt. So looking back the history of Israel, you may ask, how come God still loved them? It does not make sense. Israel is such a rebellious country. Those people always go back, always go astray to their idols. They desire to go back to the wicked land instead of staying in God's blessed land. They always murmur. They always complain to God. And they always complain to those leaders which God ordained. Why God still loved them? Why? God loved them because God is God. He does not change. He can choose whatever he likes, so that he chooses Israel, which we'll see in our second point. God loved them because his covenant, which he made with their forefathers, he keeps his covenant and oath. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob. He loved them because he is a covenantal God. He loved them in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to their fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. God is a faithful God who keeps truth forever. Therefore, in this special moment, when all Israelites were discouraged and backslidden, God reminds and reaffirms them that he loved them. It's not the love of man, because the love of man always changes. It's the love of God, which will never fail. Dear friends, no one can love you this way. how many times our love makes all kinds of desire, our own lust and our own goal. How many times we want to use our way to love others, but many times we fail. Because of sin, yes, there's no perfect love, no perfect love between man. However, God's love through Jesus Christ is perfect. He loves his people because he is I am that I am. He loves his people because he is faithful God regardless of our unfaithfulness. He used his perfect way to love his people for their good. He loved his people by this simple, warm, and loving sentence, I have loved you. If God says, I have loved you, then what else do you need? It's enough. If God loved you, who can be against you? If God loves you, who can condemn you? If God loves you, who can take away his divine love? Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. God loves you, dear believers, because of his Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins, so that you are no longer under the wrath of God. I have loved you. I love you now. And I will love you forever. Oh, beloved, may this truth, may this declaration of God will become your only hope and joy. Today, God will not send another prophet to tell you, I have loved you. But the whole Bible shows the God's love. And God will send his servant to repeatedly proclaim this truth. God loved you. God loved his people. No matter what circumstances and situations you are going through, if you are a true Christian, you should know that God loves you even now. But how do Israelites respond? This is our second point. Love be recklessly questioned. They respond God with ingratitude. In what way have you loved us? They think God forsakes them. They think they are treated unjustly. Their current condition does not match with their expectation. They forget the time where there was no temple in Jerusalem for 70 years. They forget that God moved the heart of King Cyrus to allow them go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. They forget there and now in their homeland because of God's grace and mercy. Otherwise, they will be still captured. They question the declaration of God. I have loved you. They ask such a reckless question. In what way have you loved us? In other words, they ask, where is your love? Where is your love? I cannot see it. Dear friends, maybe you think those Israelites are ridiculous. How come they can ignore God's words? How can they forget the grace of God shown to them before? You may think if you were there, you can never raise such a ridiculous question. However, when we examine ourselves, how many times we complain for our situations? How many times we ask, why does it happen to me? When you complain, question such things, you may not directly ask God, in what way have you loved us? But there are similar questions. You are challenging God's divine love. You think God treat you badly. Why do your friends spend the same time working on something, but he is rewarded? But I am not. Sometimes we compare with others. Why God treat me so bad? Where is God's love? I cannot see. You think God loves them much more than you. Even sometimes you see the unbelievers, you think their life is so good. But why my situation is so bad? Lord, where's your love? My dear beloved, are these cases describing you sometimes? Describing me sometimes? Yes. If you are a true Christian, many times we are like those Israelites. We forget what God has done for us. We are trapped by our current situation. We interpret it as God's forsakenness. When we are in great trials, we are prone to forget that God uses afflictions to refine his people. We forget that even we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. If any of us now is backsliding, you may not feel God's love that strong. You may think you are separated from the love of God. You turn your back to the Lord and go to the world. You forgot that you were already purchased, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Where is your love? Dear beloved, when you are in these situations, when you question, doubt, complain, murmur, remember, God loved you, and he loves you even now, and he will love you until the end. You should always interpret God's providence in the light of his love, rather than reading his love off our interpretation of his providence. I pray that each of us can turn unto our Lord, praying that he can give you help and do not doubt about his unchangeable love. Because he says this, I have loved you. I pray that each of us can cry out like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, because he says, I have loved you. So when Israelites respond God's declaration with ingratitude, God does not rebuke them immediately. On the contrary, he acts as a merciful and patient father, demonstrating them how he loved them. This is our third point. Love by patient demonstration. He uses two examples. One, by election. So in verse 2b to 3, the Bible says, "Was not Esau Jacob's brother?" saith the Lord. "Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness." Here, God uses an example that all Israelites will know, because it's about their forefathers, Jacob. Boys and girls, I believe you know this story, right? Jacob and Esau are sons of Isaac and Rebekah. Esau is Jacob's older brother, and he should have the birthright. He should have the blessing of birthright. But you know the story. He sold it for the soup. And when we see from Genesis 25 to 30, we can find that Jacob is such a tricky person. He used tricks to deceive his brother and his father. And he always wanted to use his power to handle something. That's the meaning of his name, Jacob. The Caesar. He always wanted to use his power to grab something. That's the personality of Jacob. What a sinful person, isn't it? When we see Esau, we may even think he's a good guy. He likes hunting, very energetic, and his father likes him. Maybe in our eyes, we think Esau is better than Jacob. However, God's way is higher than our ways. God says, "I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau." Here, love and hate shows God's sovereign election. In other words, I chose Jacob and I rejected Esau. I bless the children of Jacob, which are you who are now complaining at me, but I will curse the children of Esau by laying waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. God tells those Israelites that he loved them by his sovereign and unconditional election. Boys and girls, is Jacob better than Esau? No. No, they're all sinners. Does Jacob do something good and Esau do something evil? No. Both of them cannot do anything good. Then why? Why Jacob? Not Esau. Why does God choose Jacob? When we see Romans 9:11, it's clear. For the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him who calls. It's not about them. It's about God, who is sovereign, who doth all things according to his will. He says, "I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have passion on whom I will have compassion. Therefore, God shows those rebellious people that He is sovereign God, that He loved them by choosing them as His covenantal people. He chose Israel for His peculiar treasury. In what manner you loved us? I loved you because I chose Jacob unto myself and chose you as my people unconditionally, not because what you have done, but because I am the Lord. I am faithful God. Dear church family, when you are under affliction or you are backsliding, when you doubt if God still loves you or cares about you, may this truth remind you and stir you up that God chose you as His peculiar. God chose you because He loves you so that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross so that you can be saved and be adopted by Him. He will not change His love because He is not man. He is not man. He loves you not because of your good work. He loves you because He already chose you from eternal in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1. He chose you already in Christ before the beginning. But for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, you may think if God chose someone and rejects someone already by His own will, then you may think I'm already rejected. Then I don't want to believe. No. Although there is some truth that people really cannot do anything good to earn God's favor to save you, but this God's sovereign election should give you more hope and joy, isn't it? Because it's not about you, it's about God. You don't know if you are chosen. You don't know. You may think you have no hope because you are such a terrible sinner. But the good news is Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. He saved thieves. He saves adulterers. He saves robbers. And He saves little ones. Why not you? Why not you? Do not make any excuses. Bow down before the feet of this merciful God, this sovereign God, to seek for His mercy. Ask Him diligently to open your heart, to see your need, to see your sins, so that you can run to Jesus Christ. God's election, sovereign election, should give you hope and joy. My dear friends, because He is sovereign God, He is sovereign Lord, and He says, I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. So second, the Lord declare His love not only by His sovereign election, also His protective preservation. We can see this from verse 4. Edom wants to return and build the desolate places by their unbelief and arrogance. They thought they can use their power to do everything. God already sent many prophets announce Edom's judgment. We can see in Ezekiel 35:7-9 or Obadiah chapter 1:12. Many verses God tells Edom that they would be most desolate. They shall be stubble. They shall be devoured. No survivor shall remain of the house of Esau. God already sent the prophets to announce those judgments. However, those judgments, those destruction, do not provoke them to repent. On the contrary, they think their power is over God, so that they can have revival. How does God respond to their ego? They may build, but I will throw down. They may build, I will throw down. Is that sarcastic? No matter how much effort they do, I will throw down. In other words, their doing is vanity. But what about God's people? God's children. When they're under the exile, when they were captivated into another place, when God's temple and the walls were destroyed by enemies, when God's people were in the distress and seems like no hope, how does God respond? God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, "You shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places." When the land of Judah was desolate, the Lord spoke to them through the prophet Zechariah, "I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it. And this servious line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem." God will help them to turn back to their land. What a contrast, isn't it? By God's mercy and grace, by His unchangeable love, He protects and preserves His people, while at the same time He throws down for those who are arrogant, who do not believe them, who do not believe Him. When the enemies of God boasting for their wisdom and power proudly, God will eventually destroy all their work because they're under the guards of the wrath of God. But why the children of God were struggled in the desolation, God comforts them and eventually will lift them up at the due time because they're under the love of God. Dear church family, may this truth comfort you. When you doubt God's love, when you complain about your current situation, when you compare yourself with those unbelievers, why can't they have a better life than me? Is God silent now? Remember, God is still working, and He is building you up, establishing you even though you cannot feel it. But by faith, you must trust Him that He loves you. You are His children. He protects you and preserves you till the end, according to His will. He makes all things good for those who love Him. Even though you are under great trial, God still loves you by His protective preservation. And for those unbelievers, for those who do not believe Him, you may have a good life. You may have a good family, and you think you can escape. You think you are higher than God. You think you can build up your own world. But I want to tell you, everything you build up in this world, the money, reputation, will be eventually thrown down. God is a just God. He will cast you out into eternal death if you do not repent. Dear friends, do not let your arrogance, ignorance, and unbelief lead you to eternal desolation. Repent, cry out to the Lord, and humble before Him. There is only one way, that through Jesus Christ. So after God's demonstration of His unchangeable love by His sovereign election and protective preservation, God promises the Israelites in verse 5, "Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, 'The Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel.'" This is our last point. I will speak briefly here. God did not only tell them how He loved and how He loved them. He also wanted them to witness it. How gracious the Lord is. These grumbling Israelites who are now doubting the love of God because their eyes, who are now doubting the love of God, were not then challenging God's love for them because their eyes will see what God just said. They will be lifted up and filled with praise for His goodness and love. They will acknowledge the Lord. They will witness what God has said. Israelites, covenant God, is the one true and living God. Jehovah is the sovereign God over all nations. The biblical Jehovah, the one I am that I am, is the only God who will be magnified in the whole world. This verse also predicts that not only Jews, but also Gentiles will be united together in Jesus Christ. By His crucifixion, both Jews and Gentiles were made one because of Jesus Christ, and they will be united and praise Him together. Not only Jews, but also Gentiles will glorify the name of Triune God. Great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. Then, beloved, what's the lesson? What is the lesson for us today? Remember, our theme is God's unchangeable love. So those Israelites begins with doubt, ungratefully. But their covenantal and gracious God declare His love toward them and explain to them with patience. And the result is they will see the work of God and praise Him. Likewise for believers today, many times you do have doubt. You think God forsake you? You begin to backsliding. However, if you are a true believer, the Holy Spirit dwells in you and secure that your salvation. By the work of the Holy Spirit, you will be strengthened by Him. You will be reestablished by Him. You will behold the work of Jesus Christ again through His Word. He will make you see again His beauty, His glory again. He will make you witness His mercy and grace through the Word, and you will be lifted up again. And at the time, you will praise Him. You will worship Him. You will be comforted because of His love. How beautiful it is, isn't it? Dear beloved, whenever you face anything hard, whenever you are going through the valley, whenever you are under any situations that you do not understand why this happened to you, pray to Him. Meditate on His unchangeable love. He loves you so much that He chose you through His Son, Jesus Christ. He loves you so much that all things work together for the good to establish you and to refine you. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for your salvation, that you are secure in Jesus Christ. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, because He loved you, because His love never changed. He loved you, and He loves you, and He will love you forever. And this unchangeable love will bring you to worship and praise Him. And you will say, "Hallowed be Thy name." Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord of Heaven, thank you so much for your unchangeable love, which can be secured in Jesus Christ. Lord, help each of us to meditate on this love, this divine love, so that we can be strengthened, comforted, to come to Jesus Christ again and again, to praise Him again and again. Lord, help us. We are so prone to be backslidden, but Lord, help us to see your word, to see your beauty, to see your work. Lift up our eyes and to praise you. And also for those who do not believe in you, Lord, also use the message to open their eyes so that they can bow down to see their need, to see their needy people, needy sinners, so that they can come to Jesus Christ with repentance and with belief. And we pray all these in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.